Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
President John Adams once said, "You'll never know how much it costs the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you'll make a good use of it. If you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to preserve it." Those are chilling words from one of America's founding fathers, especially considering this nation's slide away from its moral and Judeo-Christian roots. So what can true patriots do to defend this country from these ideological attacks? Well, in just a moment, we'll learn what can be done to save America before it's too late. Again, Dr. Dobson's guest today will be Alex McFarland. Alex is a noted apologist, evangelist, popular author, and a well-traveled speaker. He also hosts his own radio show called Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network. Now, as we begin, Dr. Dobson and Dr. McFarland will highlight America's need to humbly return to God. Later, they'll walk through a list of freedoms and liberties that are in jeopardy this election day. Without any further delay, let's rejoin this insightful discussion. Here once again is Dr. James Dobson.
Let's talk about the future, where the nation is going. Of course, a lot's going to depend on this next election. George Barna, a noted researcher and pollster, said that the Christian worldview on which America was based is disappearing, and only 4% of millennials, the younger generation coming up, believe in absolute truth. That does not portend well for the future, does it? There are going to be more of them 4 years from now, and they're likely to have the similar views, and it's going to be more difficult to represent conservative Christian perspectives. Is that where we're headed?
It is where we're headed. If we don't have a revival.
Now, there's the key.
It is. You know, there's a lot we could say about worldview and the philosophies competing for the minds of people. I'll put it very simply. We need the Bible to be the authority in our life. We need the what we call the authority of Scripture. And that would fix so many things if we who name the name of Christ would live by His Word. I mean, Dr. Dobson, the child of God must build his life around the Word of God. And I quote a lot of Bible verses. And somebody asked me, you know, why do you quote Bible verses so much? Well, because in this changing world, the only thing that is true and true forever is the Word of God.
That's right.
The Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 93 says, "I will never forget your precepts, for through them I found life." Matthew 24:35, Christ said, "Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away." And so I pray in the hearts of individual believers and in the church collective that the Bible will become our standard for life, faith, behavior.
And that depends on a revival. So everything really comes down to that, is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will draw people to Him, and there would be a repentance for sins and a return to the God of our fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
And do you see any evidence of that?
I have some hope. There have been some smatterings of revival around the country. You know, in a perfect world, we would wake up every morning and turn to Christ. But I think very often, much like in the nation of Israel, we, the church, things have to get desperate before we get on our face before God sometimes.
Were you watching Rabbi Kahn at the return that took place just a few weeks ago in Washington, D.C.?
Absolutely.
Did you see that?
I did.
I mean, we sat on the couch. Shirley and I sat side by side. We weren't able to be there, even though I was a speaker, so we did it virtually. But we sat on the couch, and we wept through a portion of that day. Where people really did pour out their hearts in calling for a revival and a return.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, let me say that I thought what you said was especially powerful about our nation being given over to utter wickedness.
Hmm.
I thought that was really powerful, and I watched the crowd at the place where I was. You could have heard a pin drop. That was an especially powerful word. What led you to pick that word?
Well, I had listed about 30 or 40 of our sins, corporate and individual sins that have taken place in this country and become commonplace to the point that we're not even shocked by them anymore. And the destruction of the family, all of those things together. And I said, there's really only one phrase I can think of that's representative of what's going on, and it is utter wickedness. And if we don't fall on our faces before God for the killing of 62 million babies and all the other things, the pornography, I mean, you just start listing the things that have become acceptable. We don't even talk about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And there is no other answer. It is utter wickedness.
Dr. Dobson, I was reading about colonial America in doing the research for the book, The Assault on America, and they said in 1740, a Scottish missionary had come to the colonies, and this quote was found in a diary. He said, verily, these people seem to care little for God, and God seems to care little for them. The whole of this people, as I see it, is ripe, either for a manifestation of God's mercy or of God's judgment. Hmm. Now, into that context, roughly 8 years later, 1748, erupted a man named Jonathan Edwards.
Yeah.
And the Great Awakening spread throughout the colonies. George Whitefield, who was a British evangelist, who ultimately would lead Benjamin Franklin to Christ, suddenly in Boston, Whitefield was preaching outdoors to 8 to 20,000 people. They said, Benjamin Franklin said, it is impossible during those years of the Great Awakening and the decades following, and I would argue that the American Revolution and then later the Constitutional Convention in 1787 was really an outgrowth of this incredible revival. Franklin said, it is impossible to walk down a village street and not hear psalms being sung or the scripture being read. He said, it seems as if the whole world has turned religious and the colonies had become a little picture of heaven, he basically said. Now, God can do that again. You know, there was Moody in the 19th century, there was Billy Graham in the 20th century that God used in a mighty way. I've got to believe before the end comes, there'll be one more great outpouring of God's Holy Spirit.
That's biblical.
It is. For God's glory, you and I might be a part of it, your listeners right now. And I would just challenge everybody to pray. Pray for the Lord to sweep across our nation from coast to coast. Dr. Dobson, I love to see Christians unite. And I know there are denominations and there are, you know, different churches that emphasize different things, but Protestant, Catholic, Orthodox, we all believe the Bible is the Word of God. We all believe Jesus is deity, the Son of God. He was virgin born, sinless, died on the cross for the sins of the world.
And He's coming back.
And He's coming back. If the body of believers would link arms and link our lives and hearts together, D.L. Moody, one of my heroes, he said, any friend of Jesus is a friend of mine. That mindset God can use.
Mm-hmm. You know, I may have said this on the air, I'm not sure, but a long time ago I heard a minister on a Sunday night, he was preaching about Abraham and Isaac and the promise of Isaac and all the future generations coming from that miraculous birth. Everything depended upon Isaac surviving, and yet here Jehovah told Abraham to come and sacrifice Isaac. The point was that for Abraham and for the people of that day, everything depended on Isaac. Mm-hmm. But it turned out that everything didn't depend on Isaac. It depended on God.
Amen.
I see this next election that way. Even if we lose, Alex, it depends on God and what He's doing. And He may use, you know, the most disappointing thing to us to bring about that revival.
Well, you know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And your revival is from two Latin words. It literally means a return to the things that bring life, life again. And in a revival, there's got to be prayer. There's got to be repentance of sin. When there's a true revival, there becomes an evangelistic urgency. People begin to care about lost people. And then there's a return to the authority of God's Word. Again, those four things, prayer, repentance, evangelism, scriptural authority. We will know that there's a revival of God when we see those things, but then that fifth thing, unity in the body of Christ.
Wouldn't that be incredible?
The body needs the body. And let me just encourage people, have a prayer meeting in your town with the different churches of all strata and set aside the theological minutiae. And believe me, I pride myself on theological precision, but I'm saying, look, if they're a follower of Jesus, don't divide over election. Don't divide over eschatology. You agree on Jesus, the blood of the Lamb that was shed for our sins. I'd love to see Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Nazarene, Assembly of God, Evangelical Catholics, Orthodox, let's come together as the followers of Jesus and let's pray together for God's name to be honored, lost souls to be saved, righteousness to come in. As much as I care about this election, and I do, in the spirit of Matthew 6:33, seek first his glory and his name, and all these other things will be an outflow of that.
We're talking to Alex McFarland. He's written a book called The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late, with a foreword by Will Graham. You got a book in front of you, and I have your book also. I'd like you to turn to page 40.
Okay.
There's a heading here that says, 21 Realities in America's Future If the Current Rush Toward Liberal Progressivism Isn't Stopped. These are the consequences of not turning this thing around. Your subtitle is How to Defend the Nation Before It's Too Late. Read these 21 items for us.
Sure. And by the way, these are things that the Biden-Harris campaign on record has said what they plan to do. This is the platform of the next 4 years should Biden and Harris win. In the next administration, they will add 2 to 4 justices to the Supreme Court, which they could easily do with the president, vice president, and 50 Democrat senators. Number two, and Joe Biden's voice is on recording saying this.
He won't admit that or tell you what he's going to do with the court, though.
That's true. But he has already said that expand LGBT trans Q rights at the expense of religious freedom. But let me read these. Give citizenship, including voting rights, to approximately 15 million illegals. He's on tape having said that. Relax border.
Conservatives will never win another election if they do that.
That's true. Relax border security, ultimately adding more between 1 and 2 million new undocumented voters to rolls each year. Number four, increase the number of legal immigrants annually allowed into the U.S. Number five, allow unregistered voters to show up, register, and vote all in one on election days. Number six, mail-in ballots will become the norm, and allowing people to proxy vote for others will become law. We can't have honest elections in that context. In the name of justice and civil rights, it will be outlawed to require a photo ID when voting. Number eight, election days will become federal holidays so that federal employees can more easily go and vote. Number nine, and this really troubles me, the Electoral College will be abolished.
That one will be a disaster.
That will be a disaster. Nancy Pelosi alludes to this almost weekly in the press. Number 10, the voting age will be reduced to 16 or 17 years of age, and students will be allowed to and encouraged to vote in their high schools. Number 11, former felons will be restored the right to vote, and possibly even inmates serving time will be allowed to vote. You know, one of the things, if a person is a convicted felon, they can't own a firearm or vote anymore. What's interesting is law-abiding citizens are going to be denied the right to possess a firearm, and felons, even some currently incarcerated, will be granted the right to vote. Number 12, and this is very sad, repeal of the Hyde Amendment, currently prohibiting the use of tax dollars to pay for abortions, will take place soon after the inauguration of our next Democrat president. By the way, the first thing Obama did in January of 2009 was to appropriate federal money for abortions on military bases, which actually was a violation of the Hyde Amendment. It's interesting. The first thing Obama did was a violation of a
state. Somehow that gets priority, doesn't it?
It does. Number 13, military spending will be greatly reduced. Donald Trump has increased military spending for 4 years, and we're the better for it. Number 14, the pressure to limit the authority of local law enforcement will intensify. Federal funding to states for roads and schools will be withheld, contingent on compliance with liberal policies coming out of Washington. Local citizens will have less and less to say about their own municipalities and about their security in general.
So federal money will become a bribe or a payment for doing what Washington wants.
Exactly. And by the way, in the writing of this book, I interviewed 4 district attorneys, 4 DAs in different parts of America who talked about already there's pressure to federalize local law enforcement. And that will greatly reduce the power of local communities to really plan their own state of living. One of the things in the Declaration, it says consent of the governed. So what we're doing as government grows and civil rights are diminished and voting and personal determination is being really wrested out of the hands of the citizenry, the federal government is becoming bigger and stronger, and the consent of the governed is little more than ink on paper at this point. 15, private ownership of guns will become illegal. 16, religious activities will be strictly restricted to the inside of churches, synagogues, or mosques. 17, criticism of liberal beliefs and immoral behaviors will become hate speech, punishable by fines and or jail time. And we're almost there now. Entitlements, health care, a guaranteed income, and, quote, free college tuition will be given to all, citizen and non-citizen, whether or not people agree to work.
That's socialism.
It is. It is. Number 19, billions of dollars will be spent for reparations, beginning first with disbursements to African Americans, then quickly to other, quote, oppressed ethnicities as well. I mean, we've long heard about reparations for slavery. We're hearing about reparations for Native Americans. We're even hearing talk of reparations for the persecution gays, lesbian, and transgenders have allegedly been subjected to.
I don't know if you list bankruptcy as one of the consequences, but all that leads in that direction.
Yeah. You know, Margaret Thatcher said back in the Reagan years, she said, socialism is great until you run out of other people's money.
Yeah.
The taxation would be just oppressively increased. Number 20, green energy policies will continue to dominate the platforms of Democrat candidates and leaders. Mandate to comply with the minutiae of enviro-friendly laws will be enforced not only for businesses, but upon homeowners. And finally, number 21 of what will be if we don't retain being a constitutional self-determinative republic. Number 21, American sovereignty will be relinquished to mandates coming forth from the United Nations and the World Health Organization. Though the full ceding of leadership may take as much as a decade, ultimately, leadership of America will be in the hands of committees staffed by representatives from member nations of the UN and of the World Health Organization. So, Dr. Dobson, what I'm saying, I know this is a mouthful, but all of these 21 points we have on good authority from within the DNC.
It's in the platform.
It is.
Many of these items are actually admitted in the platform.
Yes, and it's giving up American sovereignty, and it's giving up just the liberty that our predecessors gave their lives for. Why would we do that? And let me just say this, and I know I've probably risked us going too much into the political fray, but candidate Biden is running 2 commercials right now. One, guaranteeing, promising jobs for all. But the other is promising to punish corporations that make a profit. Let me say, profit is not necessarily an evil thing. In 1776, Adam Smith published the book The Wealth of Nations, and he talked about, quote, the invisible hand that guides economies. And that book was very influential in the lives of the founders. And capitalism, so many young people are told capitalism is bad, making a profit is evil. But what we had in America was what I would call principled capitalism. It was a capitalism within the context of our Judeo-Christian moral worldview. And it's been my privilege to know a lot of business owners, and I know you have too, and people put their own money at risk, and they work hard, and they engage in deferred gratification, and they live within their means. They build a business that creates jobs for people, that creates employment. And the left can't at one time promise to punish business, but then on the other hand promise everybody will have jobs. Mm-hmm. If you want jobs, there has to be people that are able to make money to keep the lights on.
Now, like it or not, you can't pay for all these things that are being promised without bankrupting the nation and taxes going through the roof.
Exactly.
It has to work that way.
That's right. And the progressive, I would say pie-in-the-sky promises might sound good, but friends, you can't get blood from a turnip, as we say down south. You can't get something from nothing. Ultimately, somebody's going to have to work, create wealth, make money. As JFK said, no nation ever taxed themselves to prosperity.
Well, that's like reaching down and pulling up your bootstraps and expecting to get off the ground. It just will not work.
That's right. You know, William Bradford in the Plymouth Colony, at first they tried socialism. And by the way, do you know before 1900, socialism had been tried in 80 American communities like New Harmony, Indiana, and Zion, Illinois, and several places. Socialism had been attempted and abandoned 80 times before 1900. Bradford in the Plymouth Colony, he realized when people were allowed private property ownership, they would work harder, they would tend their garden, and it was really a form of capitalism that began to create prosperity.
Well, Alex McFarland is our guest in these two programs. You've given us so much to think about, and much of it is in this book, The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late.
And I'm very honored to have been able to spend a few minutes discussing it with you.
Well, the bottom line is that we need to be praying in these next 2 weeks and asking the Lord for mercy.
Amen. We do.
And that's not a political statement. That's a moral statement. Where we are as a nation is hanging in the balance. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, thank you for asking. Just my website, which is my name, alexmcfarland.com. I'm on the road speaking. Love to come to your city. Just go there and you'll find some things.
You're all over the country, aren't you?
You know, I would preach 365 nights a year if I had a place to do it.
Well, I hope you'll get a lot more. I appreciate you, Alex. I appreciate the truths that you have expressed in this book. I hope you sell a million copies, and it's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you, my brother.
An eye-opening conversation about the moral threats to our American way of life. If you missed part one of this interview or would like to revisit the entire discussion, request a CD by simply going to today's broadcast page and clicking the Order a CD button. That's drjamesdobson.org. While you're there, you'll also learn more about Alex McFarland and his kingdom work as well. Find all this and more when you go to drjamesdobson.org and then click onto the broadcast button. Did you learn anything particularly from this two-part broadcast, or did it connect with you in a special way? If so, go now to our Facebook page and let us know about it. You'll find our profile by searching for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Once you're there, be sure to comment on either of the broadcast posts. You know, we love hearing from you and what our programs are doing to challenge you and to grow your worldview. So go now to Facebook.com and search for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Playing off the tone of these two broadcasts, question for you. Are you doing all you can to defend traditional values? As we head into this pivotal election season, your vote is critical in preserving our nation. Dr. Dobson believes there are several moral issues at stake this November that every Christian needs to know about. He's broken them down through his new Faith Votes publication. Before you head to the polls, be sure to request your copy of this helpful resource. You can do that right now by going to drjamesdobson.org/faithvotes. Read and apply this wisdom by taking a stand for biblical values at the ballot box. Again, you can get a free copy of this Faith Votes publication when you go to drjamesdobson.org/faithvotes. And be sure to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.